lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
They won't fear it until they understand it, and they won't understand it until they've used it.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
What are you doing here? Thinking about turning our house into a nuclear power plant?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's a time for another movie show, Steve. The movie show before Oscar weekend.
Yes.
And we've been getting people asking us, who do we think is going to win the Oscars?
Oh, I'm waiting for the phone calls. I usually get them about this time.
Steve is the handicapper, apparently, for all of his friends' office pools.
I don't know why, because I might get 75-80% right.
And I get 0% right, because until this year, I've only watched it once, and that was the year Titanic. And now this is the first year ever I've seen all 10 of the Best Picture nominees, so
look,
I will be
you.
Tuning in this year to see who wins.
Watch out. The people, once they know that you watched them all, they're going to call you.
Our big movie of the week, however, is probably not going to be nominated for an Oscar. I'm guessing, and this is not a knock on it, but it's Kung Fu Panda 4.
The most powerful shape-shifting sorceress, the Chameleon.
How do I find this, the Chameleon? What is this place?
The best crooks and criminals live here.
You're a wanted criminal?
You sound surprised. Is it surprising?
All right, the big movie review sponsored by Paris RV. With over 1,200 RVs in stock and ready for your outdoor adventures, they're sure to have the RV you're looking for. So check them out at any of their four locations or at parisrv.com. All right, Steve, fourth entry in the Kung Fu Panda series. Jack Black's back again to voice Po. This time he's told that the time has come for him to find and train a new dragon warrior so that he can become the spiritual leader of the Valley of the Peace, which is kind of what his turtle master told him he was going to do in the last movie 8 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say.
8 years ago. And Poe doesn't want to give up Dragon Warrior. He kind of enjoys it.
It's
it was
fun.
Like his life dream.
Yeah.
So he figures out a way to keep doing it by finding out that there's an evil chameleon that you heard, voiced by Viola Davis, trying to bring back the villains that Poe had previously banished to the spirit world, including Ian McShane's Tai Lung.
You know, he's the only one that's been in all four of these movies, other than, obviously, Jack.
Other than Jack Black, yeah. Well, and that's that brings us to an interesting point, which is that if you loved The Furious Five and The Dragon Warrior, you should just get ready to love The Dragon Warrior, because The Furious Five are nowhere to be found in this.
They're on assignment.
On assignment. That's how you... That feels like an old-timey, like, radio kind of trick.
It is. That's what we always used to say if somebody was sick or they, you know, they couldn't make it. Like, Jim is on assignment
They're
today.
On assignment. So the Furious Five are on assignment. But what we do have, so again, before it sounds like I'm trashing this, because I'm really not.
No.
You do get Bryan Cranston back as Poe's panda dad, and you get James Hong back as his duck or goose dad or whatever he is.
James Hong is a miracle to me. He's in his 90s now, and he's still doing this stuff.
And he makes noodles. He's a duck that makes noodles. I just have always loved that. And then we get Awkwafina on as a fox named Zhen, and I thought she was a great addition.
Yeah, she was fun.
But that's basically it. So, Poe, is he going to train a replacement? There's intrigue. There's double crosses. There's all kinds of stuff. For me, what it boiled down to is I really liked all three of the first Kung Fu Panda movies. And I really thought each one added something. And, like, I was always impressed at how impressed I was walking out of each one. For this one, it was fine. I gave it a B. But I just felt like it just didn't leave me with the same satisfaction that the other three movies did.
And there's supposed to be two more of these.
Really?
Originally, this was planned for a six-film arc. So...
Will Dustin Hoffman be alive if they're going 8 years between three and four?
Well, they better shoot him more than, you know, quicker than 8 years apart.
And Dustin Hoffman is back as Master Shifu. And in fact, I thought they maybe recast the voice. I didn't think it sounded like Dustin Hoffman at all.
He's older now, and he sounds a little more feeble. That's true.
But I, yeah, so I was happy that he was back.
Awkwafina was so recognizable in the moment she shows up. And did you catch who was playing the fish?
I did see that, but I'm drawing a blank.
Ronnie Chang. It's hysterical.
He pops up in everything now.
I know. But he has these little tiny little parts, and he was...
If you saw Meg in the doll horror movie, he was the big toy executive.
Yes, that's right.
The Asian
who she dances
American.
In front
yes.
of. Yeah.
So anyway, just for visual reference for people who saw Meg. So for me, Kung Fu Panda 4 was a B. My kids all enjoyed it, and I was just grateful that I didn't have to, like, take them out or something because they were too loud.
But... Well, because I heard initially that they kind of geared this more towards adults. Because they had lived with the previous three movies,
Well, that's true. I mean, what, Kung Fu Panda 1 was like 2004, 5, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I want to say
maybe a little later, but either way, you've got a, if it's 8 years since the last one, and that's the third in the trilogy, then, you know, there's the kids who watched the original Kung Fu Panda might have kids of their own by now.
Exactly, and I think that's what they were thinking, but the jokes don't quite land like they used to, and I don't know, they felt a little forced. I don't know. It just didn't. I also gave it a B, but I just, I wasn't.
And remember, B isn't like B movie like that.
No.
Is the a phrase for like a B movie.
It's above average.
It's a good movie. Yeah. I consider B to be a good movie. But, you know, the other Kung Fu Pandas for me were like A minus, B plus. Like they were up at a higher grade. And this one was just, so it's still good. And the families that walked out all were giving glowing reviews to the studio rep. So the average family that maybe only sees a handful of movies a year will probably enjoy this more than I did.
Yeah.
So that is Kung Fu Panda 4, our big movie of the week. Really quickly previewing what else we've got on today's movie show. We've got the PG-13 horror movie Imaginary from Blumhouse.
Yes.
We've got the movie Cabrini, which is from Angel Studios, about a nun in the late 1800s trying to set up an orphanage and a hospital, and I thought it was really solid.
Does not take no for an answer very well.
Yep. And then we've got one of the Academy Award nominees, Yo Capitano, for foreign language film, which we both watched this week, and wow.
So good.
Wow. Then we have one we didn't get to see called YOLO. We've got one on Netflix with Millie Bobby Brown called Damsel.
Yeah, that was fun-ish.
I can't wait to talk about that one. And then we have the Farrelly brothers return to R-rated comedy with a movie called Ricky Stanicky.
Is this just one of the Farrelly brothers?
Yeah, I believe it's just Peter Farrelly. Yeah. And John Cena, Zac Efron. And those were really the only.
Andrew Santino.
And William H. Macy.
Andrew Santino is kind of a coming up.
He's the redhead, right?
Yeah, he's the redhead.
Okay. And we'll talk about that because I have some mixed feelings on this one. Some ashamed mixed feelings.
Yeah, this is my guilty pleasure.
This. I shouldn't have liked this. And then on streaming, we have what's called The Gentleman, which is sounds like the Guy Ritchie movie for a reason. It's not the Guy Ritchie movie, but it takes place in that universe.
But I watched the first three episodes. It's very good.
Yes, I've seen the first two. We've got The Regime that hits HBO and Max.
Yeah, this is a Kate Winslet movie with the Matthias Schoenaerts. It's a very strange movie. She is the chancellor of some Eastern European country, and it's interesting.
And so we will have all of that, plus we will have an interview with
the Commish. About Reluctant Travelers with the
we have the Reluctant Traveler on Apple TV Plus with Eugene Levy.
Yes,
and we will talk about all that, plus we will interview the Commish.
Oh yeah.
We're going to talk about Horizon and the movies, the Costner. For some reason can't think, I don't know how I couldn't think of Kevin Costner's name, but we're talking about all that, plus telephone torture. And our text question of the day, 57500, text us your favorite Jack Black movie. So maybe you like an obscure one that we can tell somebody else about. All that coming up on today's movie show.
It's the world famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
Steve, we asked the question, what is your favorite Jack Black movie? Jumanji. How can we forget that one?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Actually, it's not the first Jumanji. No. That's a Robin Williams movie.
That's
but
true.
The last two Jumanjis are awesome. Jack Black pretending as if he's
high
Jack Black's
girl.
Body on a high school girl. I was surprised a little bit that Dave Noriega didn't pick Nacho Libre. I really felt like that was going to be one he would have liked because I know a lot of people that love Nacho Libre.
That's true.
But keep them coming. Here's one. It's Carl Denham in King Kong 2005. I forgot he was in that.
Oh, that's right.
The Pick of Destiny. Somebody's nominated that one. Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny.
Oh, yeah.
These are great. So keep them coming. Favorite Jack Black movie, 57500. Or if you saw Dune 2, give us a one-sentence review of Dune 2 at 57500. Steve, it's time to review another movie. Actually, we're going to try to do a couple of movies here. Let's do our two movies about immigration. We'll start with Cabrini.
I was told that you were rejected by three different orders, each time for weakness of constitution.
Your Holiness, we can serve our weakness or we can serve our purpose, not both.
All right, this is a new entry from Angel Studios, and it's directed by the same guy who directed Sound of Freedom last year that did really well. And it's appropriate for Women's History Month, right?
It's International Women's Day.
Oh, and today's International Women's Day, too, and it's Women's History Month. Ah, see, it all falls together. It's the true story of a missionary from the late 1800s named Mother Frances Cabrini. She's the first American to be canonized as a saint in the Catholic Church. Now, in 1889, Cabrini, who's played by Christina Dellana in this movie, she's sent by the Pope to New York to take care of the Italian immigrants who are generally detested and thought of as dirty and uneducated and unintelligent, especially by the evil mayor of New York, John Lithgow, with a Santa Claus beard.
Doesn't he love playing the villain?
But Cabrini fights against sexism and anti-Italianism while she tries to establish both an orphanage and a hospital. And then it eventually goes on to be the beginnings of what the movie calls the largest humanitarian empire in world history.
Yeah, that closing last couple of minutes was staggering to me. I thought, she fought so hard to just get a foot in the door, and David Morris playing the Archbishop. Boy, he was like snidely whiplash. Like, dude, come on.
He does have a redeeming moment later
the
film.
Yeah, after it's shoved down his throat.
No, he admits that he's never forgotten. Like, I don't know. I always think when you make certain figures the bad guy, when really the bad guys are really the other people, but when the people who are supposed to be good guys exhibit same tendencies as the bad guys.
Well, it's all fear and fear of change.
Right. And I just think, like, when, as somebody who's had responsibilities before, it's thinking about, like, you know, there are a lot of things. Yes, we're getting told this story and we feel for this particular claim. But what about the person who has to listen to 47 stories that all need similar kinds of help? And you have to decide how you're going to do it. I always feel just an extra bit of sympathy that they don't usually give those characters in the movie. But
well, it's hard to do because you have to. You don't have the time to establish them, you know, that much. But I just thought, what an incredible woman. I was just stunned at how resilient she was. And then when one of her charges said to her, when you put on your, you know, your cape or whatever.
It's your armor.
Yeah. And that's you. You're like a fighting crazy nun. Lady.
She's not afraid to say the same thing to the mayor of New York who hates Italians as she is to the Pope of her own
or
religion.
Or to walk into the Senate of Italy.
Or to face down an angry dealer of women of the night who's trying to, like, she's fearless.
Yeah.
Fearless and a relentless force for good. That's what I wrote down, was a relentless force for good.
And her, you know, gaggle of nuns that she took with her, they were all just tough.
Yeah.
Tough ladies.
And for an Angel Studios film, like, you can see that now they're getting to where they can do a period piece like this that doesn't feel like they're having to shoot really tight so that you don't realize that they don't have the budget. Like, we're seeing, like, CG renderings of New York back in the 1800s. Like, you could not tell. I mean, this was a big-budget Hollywood movie, and I loved it.
The production values were as good as you can get.
So for me, I gave this an A-, totally worth the effort to watch. It is 2 hours and 20 minutes long. Just a heads up, it is a little bit longer, but I thought it was worth it.
Yeah, that's the only caveat for me. I thought they could have tightened it up a little bit. I'm at a B+.
All right.
They won't fear it until they understand it, and they won't understand it until they've used it.
The week's big movie review. Movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
What are you doing here? Thinking about turning our house into a nuclear power plant?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, Steve, we need to talk about Yo Capitano because we wanted to. There was two movies that had similar type themes and set in different time periods, but they're about kind of the same subject, which is what it's like for immigrants.
Plus, the uniqueness of this experience is unbelievable.
Oh, so do we have a clip from Yo Capitano? It's not in English, so I wouldn't be surprised if we don't. There actually were a couple sentences in English. There were. But I actually thought about trying to record them real quick. But
Wolof, which is their native tongue. Then they speak
Senegal.
French, and then they end up speaking Italian.
So Yo Capitano, it actually won the top directing and acting prizes at Venice Film Festival, and it is now one of the foreign language film nominees and could win the Academy Award this Sunday, although
the odds
think
are against
it, unfortunately. But, boy, does it deserve it? Absolutely. It's basically the story of two guys, Seydou and Moussa. They're cousins, and they're 16.
Yeah.
And they live in Senegal, and they decide we're going to make our fortune in Europe because one wants to really be a singer. So they don't tell their mom.
Which is heartbreaking.
Yeah. So, but, you know, as an American watching this, you're like, okay, you know, rebellious teenage spirit. So they're going to try to get off to Europe. Well, be honest, I didn't consider what they were going to have to do to get to Europe until I watched what they have to go through. And then the process of them going to get out of Senegal and just to get to Italy, all right, is,
oh,
it's impossible. It's impossible.
Well,
it's,
yeah,
terrifying.
Because...
it's life-threatening. It's, I'm speechless because there's not words to describe until you watch what they have to go through.
And mainly it's because everywhere they go, there's somebody trying to take their money. And I mean,
yes,
really take their money. And it, by the time they actually, you know, get to Libya, they're flat broke. They have to work.
Well, and they're completely at everyone else's mercy. As soon as they begin the journey, because they don't have the money to, you know, fly direct and everything like that, they now are at the mercy of whoever they're with. They don't know where they are. They know where they want to get to, but they don't know how to get there. And they don't even know if they're there.
If you look at a map of Africa, Senegal is on the west coast, just below the little hump there. So you've got to go from there all the way across the Sahara to get up to Libya and then get on a boat.
Hopefully you can secure passage because you don't have any of this guaranteed when you start the journey.
No.
It's a dice roll the entire way.
Complete crapshoot, and these kids, they're 16. Oh. And the anguish on their faces, and especially when they get separated, the poor Sidhu is like losing his mind. He's not leaving unless he can find his cousin.
And I'll tell you what. Okay, so I don't want to give anything away for people who are going to watch it because I really do think you should enjoy the entire journey.
Oh, absolutely.
And it will open your eyes. But the reason this is called Yo Capitano,
yeah,
you don't find out until the last scene of the movie.
That's right.
And it is very emotional.
It is very emotional.
Very
and
emotional.
I thought, why is it called this? Oh, now I get it.
So this for me, I was with an A minus, but the more I think about it, it's an A.
It's an A for me. I loved this movie. It is so unique, and the young men are so endearing. They're just cute, you know. They're good guys, and
yes,
they're trying to
they're
do
likeable.
The right thing.
You know, it's to the point where I got so lost in this that I started wondering if I was actually watching their immigrant experience, like that this was an actual thing that happened.
Yeah.
Like, no, it has to be. Like, I had to remind myself, okay, these guys get to go offset at the end of the day, and they get to sleep in an actual bed. But I was so
like
engrossed
it.
In it that I was like, they just, like, followed him, right? This is like a documentary.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not, but you feel like it is as you're watching it.
I had no idea what this was about until I started watching it. And then once I got in, I was hooked.
Yeah. That's Yo Capitano. It is rated R, but it is playing at the Broadway. And I think at a couple
Megaplex.
Of
Megaplex.
Yes. All right. And now let's talk about Damsel.
I have made a match. A prince. We need this. Your people need you.
I need you to listen to me now. I don't trust them. They may be royalty, but that doesn't make them good people.
All right, so Damsel is not a damsel in distress, as she says in both the trailer and literally the first line of the movie.
That's right.
Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things and Enola Holmes. Basically, she faces off against a giant dragon. As you heard in the clip, she's a princess from a poor kingdom. Her father arranges for her to marry a prince from a rich kingdom. But no sooner is the wedding completed when her groom drops her off a ledge and into a dragon's lair.
Bye, honey.
And then that they're expecting the dragon to eat her so that the dragon will leave their kingdom alone. But they failed to disclose this to Millie Bobby Brown's character.
She probably wouldn't go.
Although they did disclose it to her father, and he is kicking himself ever after.
Yeah, he made the deal.
But he made the decision. He had to think, and Millie understood it. She, you know, we're thinking that's for her. It was going to marry the guy. I got to think of my people. Doesn't matter what I think. I got to do this to save my people. But without going into too much detail for those who actually want to see it, Netflix threw a lot of money at the special effects and the and effort into the special effects, and I felt like that paid off.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous-looking movie. Almost reminded me of the Desolation of Smaug.
Yes, there was a lot of familiarity to that.
And Shohei Agadashlu was the voice of the – and she's got a very
deep
voice.
Yeah, I wondered who that was. It's a cool
she's
voice.
Iranian, and she's got a very deep voice. So that was cool. The thing that reminded me of this movie a few years ago was called Ready or Not, and it was about a family that played a game, and if you lost the game, then the bride had to run for her life, and they tried to kill her. It was Samara Weaving.
Yes.
This is that movie.
Only with a dragon.
Yes.
Only, was there a dragon in Ready
or Not? No, okay. I don't think so.
I thought it may be a little bit too intense for youngest kids, but my tween or my teenage daughter liked it, and I assume my 11-year-old would also like it. It is rated PG-13. It's streaming on Netflix. But really, what made this movie was that Millie. We finally get an Millie, but we also finally get an answer of what would have happened if Buttercup had married Humperdinck. Play the clip. I thought we had the clip. This was the whole reason we teed up the clip, Gustavo. The Princess Bride. Oh, my
so
gosh.
Bow
the
down
joke
to her
is...
if you want. Bow to her. Bow to the queen of slime. The queen of filth, rubbish, muck. Boo! Boo!
Well, that was funny for a whole different set of reasons than I initially envisioned it. But nevertheless, Robin Wright plays the evil queen, so we get to see what would have happened if she'd have married Humperdinck.
By the way, she loves playing mean and nasty, too. She's so much more fun.
And she did it well.
She did.
So that is Damsel, and it is on Netflix. I gave it a B-.
I give it a B because I love Millie Bobby Brown. I don't know what it is about her, but
she is pretty good.
So good. Carries this movie. It's fun for me, I thought.
All right. Now let's go with the other big streaming movie of the week, Ricky Stanicky.
Oh, boy.
I want to know where you guys were tonight.
We called every hospital and there was no record of a Ricky Stanicky.
What if we hire an actor to play Stanicky?
I pronounced
so another
it wrong,
imaginary
Stanicky.
Friend movie.
Yeah, we have a couple of those this week. So these three friends, and this was a hit and miss one for me. So three friends, they try to play a Halloween prank when they're kids. It goes awry, and they leave some evidence behind in the scene, but they deliberately write a made-up name on it so that the cops won't realize
Which
it's
is
those
brilliant.
Three kids. Good thinking.
Yeah.
Ricky Stanicky. And then they blame everything they do wrong for the rest of their lives
and
on
they
Ricky
do a lot.
Stanicky. Yeah, that's where they kind of lost me right at the beginning with the main characters because they're kind of jerks.
Yeah.
And at any rate, so they've used it it's the get out of jail free card for everything. It's Ricky Stanicky. So they get out of a baby shower, they get out of this, they get out of that. Well, at some point, the wives and girlfriends and boyfriend finally insist they need to meet this Ricky Stanicky, and so they happen to have run into. A character named Rod, and I will not give you his full
his stage name.
Let's just leave it at that. He does celebrity song impersonations in a very gross way.
Yeah, and the subject matter is horrifying, but his voice, this is John Cena, and he's singing his heart out.
Yeah, and so at any rate, but he's also a professional actor. So then they're like, okay, we're in a jam. We got to come up with somebody. They have his card. They call John Cena to come in and pretend to be Ricky Stanicky. Look, it goes exactly like you're going to imagine this. If you've ever seen any movie like this before, it doesn't depart from that. What sets it apart, though, is John Cena is really good at this. He is so funny. Like, I mean John Cena playing Ricky Stanicky, not John Cena's character playing Ricky Stanicky. John Cena made this movie for me. It's so funny. It's one of the Farrelly brothers, Dumb and Dumber, Something About Mary, Shallow Hal. If you liked any of those movies, this does pull in, I thought, a few of the funny moments of those kinds of movies. But it doesn't, like I thought Dumb and Dumber was, I know you don't like it, but Dumb and Dumber for me was more of a complete comedy. Something About Mary was more of a complete comedy. And this, I don't know, it got too gross at times. But it also has William H. Macy, and he was really funny in it.
He is. But here's the problem for me. If you take the raunch and then you try to do the good heart part, you got to make that meld somehow so that doesn't feel so awkward.
But the good heart part landed for me, and that's why I hate myself that it landed.
But
it shouldn't have.
For me, it didn't quite because the connection, you know, you've got to make it seamless. And it was so blatantly like, and then, aw, that I just like, come on, you're better than this. But I got to admit, Cena, this is his movie.
Yeah.
The rest of them are just there for fun.
If you thought, and I like this much better. I liked him in this much better than I liked Vacation Friends 1 and 2 that he was also in the comedy. But for me, look, after all that, it's still a C-plus movie for me, slightly better than average.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't as offended, and I should have been.
I was plenty offended, but the funny parts were funny.
Oh, I'm going to B-.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So I went with a C+, B-. Ricky Stanicky, it is rated R. And honestly, William H. Macy, it's almost worth it for him, too.
And you'll have to have a skin of a shark to get through this because some of it is pretty rough.
Yeah, it's one where you're not going to want to admit depending on who you are, as to what you laughed at.
How did you laugh at that?
Yeah. That's exactly it.
The Movie Show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
On KSL News Radio.
Well, Steve, before we do the Movie Show Top 10, let's review Imaginary.
Okay.
He asked you to do something that hurt you.
It was part of the game.
Does that seem like a game a good friend would want to play?
Maybe we shouldn't play together anymore, Chauncey. Maybe we shouldn't be friends. No.
Yeah. So if you're in the mood for something more in the scary vibe than the, you know, immigration or Kung Fu Panda vibe, you've got Imaginary, the latest horror suspense movie from the talented folks at Blumhouse. I don't like horror, but Blumhouse seems to have made stuff that approaches more where I'm willing to go and watch.
Well, they can do it on the cheap, and they usually have a pretty decent quality performance.
Speaking of on the cheap, I wondered if the house in Imaginary was also the same house from Night Swim, but I might be wrong. Either way, Imaginary, a woman named Jessica moves back to her childhood home with her husband and her two stepdaughters when the younger daughter, Alice, who you heard in the clip, starts carrying around and talking to an old teddy bear named Chauncey that she just found in the house in the basement. That's never going to go well. Everybody thinks it's cute. Oh, she's got an imaginary friend. She's
Doesn't
talking
it look
to
kind
her.
Of roughed up already?
It does look pretty rough. And everybody thinks it's cute until weird and creepy things start happening. And then it's not so cute anymore. Meanwhile, then the writers send Dad off on a music tour, I guess, and the stepmom and the stepkids are left to fend with whatever's going on in the house.
I'm
not a big fan of horror movies, but I didn't hate this one. I don't want to give anything away, but there were some decent scares and a good creepy premise. What if the imaginary friends were real, and what if they could, like, kill people?
Okay, I'm not worried
it's
about
PG-13,
you.
It's PG-13, so there was very little blood, believe it or not.
I want to know about your daughter. What did she think?
So she talked to herself through the whole movie.
What was
And I was like, after the movie, I was like, you know, you talk like your brother does when he plays video games. I did not. Oh, yes, you did. I'm like, it's called self-soothing. Oh, I wasn't nervous. Okay.
So, but some people like horror movies. Is she still a fan, or she?
She is still a fan, and she liked it. Okay, for me, as far as it goes, I gave it a C. It's rated PG-13. We're not going to have time for the top 10 if I don't wrap this up.
That's okay.
But at any rate, so for me, I give Imaginary a C. It's PG-13. Teens and tweens alike it. My 17-year-old liked it. I didn't think it was the worst. That's about the best thing I can say.
Well, that sounds like a typical Blumhouse movie.
All right. Let's go to the Movie Show top 10. We don't need the sounder because we don't have enough time. But, Steve, let's rip through it really quickly. Okay. What do we got at number 10 while I get it pulled up?
The Beekeeper.
The Beekeeper still on the list. Jason Statham. It's going to get a sequel.
8 weeks, $152 million. Come on.
Argyle at number 9.
Ugh. Well, it's at 92 after 5 weeks.
I got in trouble because I didn't give it a good enough grade, according to my sister-in-law and her mom.
Wonka
still in the top 10 at number 8.
625 in 12 weeks. That's pretty good.
We've got that anime, Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba.
Yeah, 44 million in 2 weeks.
Migration still at number 6.
Anime, that's amazing.
Yeah, anime does really well. We got about 10 seconds. We got Migration at number 6, Good or Go. If you haven't seen it by now, you're not going to see it till it comes to streaming. We got Madam Web at number 5, The Chosen at number 4, Ordinary Angels at number 2,
Bob Marley.
Yeah, we did love Ordinary Angels. Bob Marley, One Love at 2, and no shock, Dune Part 2 at number 1.
Just about to go over $200 million in a week.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
That is a stupid design, and your instructions were very unclear.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
These curious creatures crawl, creep, and climb their way through life.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, Steve, we asked our listeners a couple questions for the text line today at 57500. What's your favorite Jack Black movie in honor of Kung Fu Panda 4?
Yeah.
And because Dune was such a big movie, we said send us some of your one- or two-sentence reviews on our text line. Just, you know, because you heard what we thought of it last week and we loved it.
Yeah, we gushed.
It won. It took number one at the box office. And now we've got, here's one. I saw Dune 2 IMAX last night. Top three movies of all time for them.
Okay.
Number one, no question, was seeing Star Wars A New Hope in the Center Theater downtown Salt Lake City in 1977. But this ranked up there with that.
Wow.
So that's awesome. Nacho Libre is our family's favorite Jack Black movie. So offbeat and funny. Classic. One of my favorite Jack Black films is Bernie.
Bernie, yeah. We talked about that a little bit ago with Stone, our engineer.
Here's one called The Big Year. I don't know that one. Oh, in fact, there's two in a row of that.
The Big Year. Was that when he was a caveman?
That's a good question. I'll have to look. No, that's, I don't know. I'll have to look that up. School of Rocks. Year One.
That's right.
Yes. School of Rock has a couple of votes. Here's a one-sentence review of Dune 2. Dune 2 is much better than the first one.
True. Got
fair. Yeah. So we've got all those coming in. We love hearing from you. What's your favorite Jack Black movie, 57500, or a one-sentence review of Dune if you saw it? Here comes another vote we just got for School of Rock. Any word yet? Okay.
You know what amazed me about School of Rock? When I watched it at Hale Center Theater, the kid, I mean, he was trying to duplicate Jack Black so perfectly, and he was brilliant at it, but I was watching him going, man, he's imitating Jack Black.
I, believe it or not, I feel like Jack Black was so perfectly suited for Kung Fu Panda that it's hard to imagine anybody else voicing that character. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a default because we never heard anybody else voice Poe, although maybe in one of the animated series on Netflix when they had him. But one of my favorite Jack Black movies, really quick, as we wait for a chance to speak with our favorite commissioner, not Commissioner Gordon. he's usually busy on Fridays.
Got bat things.
Dealing with bat things. But for me, there's one called Be Kind Rewind with him and Mos Def, and it came out in about 2009, and it's about a video store, one of the last ones that still rented video cassettes.
And was Jack Will Black Ferrell is, in this?
No.
No.
But Jack Black is kind of this crazy guy, and at one point he like always wears like tinfoil and stuff on him, and he gets struck by lightning, and he gets magnetized, and he walks through the video store. And it partial erases all the videotapes. And meanwhile, Mos Def's been in charge of the store while his dad, Danny Glover, is off at some convention. And so he's like, oh, no, I've ruined everything. And people want to rent the video. So they're like, okay, we've got to make up what.
So they
get out a video camera and they start reenacting all these different scenes from the movies. And that's where it gets hilarious. But it has this really sweet message at the end. Leonard Maltin actually called it It's a Wonderful Life, Frank Capra-esque. That's who called it that. So, I mean, it's not just me saying that, but I thought it was really good. That one's called Be Kind Rewind. All right, Steve, while we wait for the commish, hopefully she'll call us here anytime now. Let's go over really quick since we're going to be short on time this show. Why don't we do our Oscar party props sheet and talk about for some of the big categories for the Academy Awards this weekend, I want to do it this way, Steve. We'll just go through the categories real quick, the big ones. Who do we like? Who do we want to win? And who do you think is going to win? Because I have no idea who's going to win. I'm not experienced enough at this yet. So let's go with the big one. Best Picture. We have 10 nominees. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Past Lives, The Zone of Interest. Which one do you want to win?
I would like The Holdovers to win, but it will be the Oppenheimer.
Okay, and I would like either The Holdovers. See, I really liked Past Lives, and I would be okay if Anatomy of a Fall or American Fiction won. Basically,
It's a good list.
It is. It's solid. I don't want Killers of the Flower Moon to win because I didn't like it that much. I don't want Poor Things to win. But I wouldn't be shocked if it did somehow.
It would be a dark horse out of nowhere.
Oppenheimer's won all the other awards. It'd be surprising if it didn't win this one. All right, so Best Director, and really quickly, because there are 10 Best Pictures and only 5 Best Directors, I believe that's part of the reason for some of the things that are called snubs, is you could only pick 5.
Right.
The Best Director nominees, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Martin Scorsese for Killers, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, and Jonathan Glazer from The Zone of Interest. Who do you want to win?
I would not be unhappy if Justine Triet won for Anatomy of a Fall, but she won't. It'll be Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer.
This is one where I'm okay with Oppenheimer winning, because as far as the look of things and putting together a whole entire thing, I think when you're talking about achievement in motion picture.
Yeah, his body of work.
Well, but just achievement in that whole movie. I mean, Yorgos Lanthimos, the way he visualized everything and put everything together. But Nolan was just so sharp. Like, just, I can't argue with it. and that's probably who will win. And honestly, if you win Best Picture, you should win Best Director, in my opinion.
Yeah, but it doesn't always work that way.
For Best Actress, this is the hardest one, I think. Best Actress, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Emma Stone for Poor Things, Sandra Uller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, Annette Bening for Naiad. Who do you want?
Well, it's been between Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone. The other three have not won anything.
Yes, but who do you want?
I would love... I thought Emma was amazing. I thought it was a brave performance. Sandra Uller in Anatomy of a Fall is so good. I think it's going to be Lily.
And I wouldn't be... I actually thought Lily was the best thing about Killers of the Flower Moon. So I would be totally okay with that. That's who I want to win. Or, Emma Stone was the only thing I liked about Poor Things.
Well,
and the visuals, but I mean, the visualization.
Well, actually, it might have a shot at Best Production Design. I think it will probably win that.
Okay, I'd be okay with that. All right, for Best Actor, we have Paul Giamatti from The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy from Oppenheimer, Jeffrey Wright, American Fiction, Colman Domingo for Rustin, and Bradley Cooper for Maestro.
I'm a huge Paul Giamatti fan, but I don't think he has a chance. Although he's won a few awards, Colman Domingo for Rustin was amazing. But again, I think it's Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, I would like to see Jeffrey Wright win because I thought he was so good. And I would be okay with Paul Giamatti. Although from what it sounds like, everybody's like, it's just Paul Giamatti being Paul Giamatti. And what a terrible thing that a great acting performance is being dismissed because you've done it before.
Yeah, I know. He plays the curmudgeon. But he's got a heart of gold. I mean, it's just all kind of there.
And then Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress.
Best Supporting Actress will be Davine Jo Randolph. She's won every one so far, as so has Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer.
All right. And then for I'm actually good with Davine Jo Randolph for Best Supporting Actress. She was so good in The Holdovers. And then for Best Supporting Actor, it sounds like Downey's going to win, but I want Ryan Gosling to win because he was the best part of Barbie, and Barbie's got to get love for something.
He is going to sing his song.
He's going to sing I Am Ken, or is he going to sing...
I Am Ken.
Or no, I'm Just Ken.
Yeah, whatever it is.
I want him to sing Push by Matchbox 20. All right, well, we're going to have to... those are the big categories, but maybe, Steve, we can persuade you to post your full personal ballot on our website.
What
maybe,
I'll do
for the people who need to pick.
What I'll do is I'll just put the ones that I think are going to win. I'm not going to go through all the rigmarole of every single category. I mean,
of all the nominees. Yeah. So Steve will put his in the 23 categories, and we'll get that posted online before Sunday. Hopefully today, maybe tomorrow, but we'll get that taken care of.
Okay.
The Movie Show.
Spock, you haven't changed a bit. You're just as warm and sociable as ever.
No, have you, Doctor? As your continued predilection for irrelevancy demonstrates.
On KSL News Radio.
We've been talking our Oscar picks in our last segment, and Steve, I hear something in the distance. Do you hear that? Well, that sound can only mean one thing. The commissioner has arrived on the movie show.
Get that red carpet out.
What do you think
of
your
own music?
You get your own music. I mean, when a commissioner visits the movie show, we need to herald their arrival.
It only took 6 years, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. Well, Virginia Pierce, the chairman of the commissioner of the Utah Film Commission. What we want to do is we really quick before we ask you about the latest on the Utah movies. Really quick, we want to hear what you think, who you want to win Best Picture, who you want to win Best Actor, and who you want to win Best Actress.
Okay, I was just filling out my Oscar ballot for our office poll, so this is a good time. Should we do, should win, will win? Is that what we're
no,
doing?
No, this is who do you want to win.
Okay.
Who do you want to win? It doesn't matter who will win. I mean, Oppenheimer might win. Steve thinks 8 of 13 awards is nominated for, maybe more. But... if you don't want Oppenheimer to win, tell us who you want to win.
I'm gonna go. I would love to see Killers of the Flower Moon win.
Okay.
But I think Oppenheimer's going to win.
Okay, and you are in the know, even more maybe than Steve. But I don't know if anybody's more than Steve.
No, Steve's in the know.
How about Best Actor? Are you like me? Do you want Ken?
He's supporting.
No, I do not want Ken.
No, he's lead.
No, he's supporting.
Oh, okay. Then, all right, how about lead?
Lead, I would like to see Paul Giamatti win, but I think it's going to be Cillian Murphy.
Yeah. Man, I'd love to see Jeffrey Wright.
She's right.
All right, how about and the best actress you said?
Oh, that's a lock on Lily Gladstone. It better be.
Oh.
Sounds like a
or
threat.
Else. And what is your favorite Oscar category that maybe not everybody else cares about?
Well, this year it's animated short film because we have some local filmmakers in the running.
Oh, so we've got
Did
Letter to
a
Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform,
yeah,
Pachyderm, and War is Over.
Yeah.
95 Senses,
95
is that,
Senses
that's local.
Is Jared and Jerusha Hess of Napoleon Dynamite fame.
Okay, so do you
and
think they'll
it's
win?
Amazing and gorgeous and should absolutely win.
Do we have any other Utah ties to the Oscar nominees this year?
Not this year. We have in the past lots, but this year our only tie is short film, which is awesome.
Okay, we're short on time, unfortunately, this segment, Virginia, but give us an update on Horizon.
Well, hopefully you saw the trailer. Everyone
yes.
sees the trailer? It looks amazing. Utah looks gorgeous. It will surely be a winner. I'm excited in June.
Is there any early buzz? Has anybody seen a rough cut of it yet?
Like you? I have not seen a rough cut. I am going to CinemaCon this year, so I'm hoping that we'll be able to see the first installment at that point when Warner Brothers does their presentation. But yeah, I'm just waiting to see. I think it's just going to be great.
Well, Virginia, thank you so much for joining us, especially as we preview the Oscars this weekend. And you know what we need as you head out of sight for another month? We need to hear your theme one more time. Everyone, take a knee for the commissioner.
I'm not sure it's regal enough.
Virginia, thanks for joining us on the movie show.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, we'll talk to you next month.
The Movie Show.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
The actor?
On KSL News Radio.
All right, Steve, it's time for telephone torture, and we're going to try it a little bit different this time.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if we've just made it too hard, but people are chickening out, and they're afraid to call in.
Right.
So we've decided that people who text us aren't afraid to text us the answer. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a hybrid of telephone torture, where we will just give the questions out on the radio, and as soon as you know it, we'll take three callers. If you think you know the answer, call in and answer it.
Yeah, that way you're not put on the spot.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get. So we'll start reading the clues, and we'll take texts. And if three callers call in and three callers get it wrong, then we take the first correct text answer.
Okay,
so similar to what we did before. But we just, as I was listening to it, I started to realize that telephone torture was torturing me as a listener. And we only want to torture the people who want to win prizes. We don't want to torture everybody.
That's good. That's
so, fair. Here is our category for today on telephone torture. It is in honor of, if I can get my computer to work properly, there we go. Our category is animated movie series with at least three movies in it, because Kung Fu Panda 4 means we've had three. So, these are animated movie series with at least three movies in it. That is our category.
Okay.
Now, when you think you know the answer, call 801-575-TALK, 801-575-8255, or just text us at 57500 with the correct answer.
So that
answer.
Means we have to have clear lines then, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, if they're ringing right now, hang up if you don't want to win telephone torture. Okay, so here is our first clue in telephone torture, and it is the first movie in this series was the first animated film in Oscar history to be nominated for Best Screenplay Academy Award, Adapted or Original. This is an animated movie series with at least three movies in it, and the first movie in this series was the first animated film in Oscar history to be nominated for Best Screenplay.
I think I know that.
That is our first clue. Now I'm just going to look and see. Has anybody called in yet, Corey or Gustavo? Oh, we have a caller. All right, let's bring them on. Do they think they know the answer? Who's this?
Hi, it's Margarita.
Margarita, do you think you know the answer to telephone torture?
I think I it's just one question, right?
So far.
Yes.
What do you think it is?
I think it's How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Good guess. Is it a correct guess, Corey? Oh, that is a very good guess. And I do believe that that one has been nominated for some Academy Award, but it was not the first one, and it was not for screenplay. But a very good guess. Thank you. All right, here is clue number two for all of our listeners. This movie series contains a character named Giggle. Okay, she hung up. That's all right. This movie series contains a character who is named Giggle McDimples.
What?
That's going to give it away to some people. Giggle McDimples is a character in this movie franchise. Any callers? 575-8255 if you think you know the answer. Oh, we've already got some correct answers on text. All right, let's bring on our caller. Who's this?
Eric.
Eric, do you think you know the answer?
I'm going to say Shrek.
Is Shrek correct? That is a good guess. More than three movies? Has been Oscar nominated?
No.
Eric, that was us crying because you came close, but that is not correct.
Good try.
All right. Nice try, though. Keep trying. You may win one of these times. All right, here is, and it's the movie series, not necessarily the number of the movie. Here is our final clue. This movie series has been going on so long that some of the original voices, like Jim Varney, have passed away and been replaced by different voices. Giggle McDimples is in this series. Jim Varney voiced a character in the series. And it was the first movie ever animated film to ever be nominated for a Best Screenplay Academy Award. Do we have a caller to try one more time for a great prize from the Megaplex Theaters? Who's this?
This is Rick.
Rick, give us an answer. You are either going to get the prize or you're going to give it to somebody on the text line.
I think it's Toy Story.
Is that correct, Corey? That is correct. Congratulations.
I can hear the text line screaming.
Yes, you just, and this is why we call it telephone torture. There's about 1,000 people who've texted in Toy Story that are like, no.
I almost did that, but I'm glad I called in.
I'm glad you called in, too. Stay on the line. Corey and Gustavo will get your information, and you will win a prize from the Megaplex Theaters, which is?
A tub of popcorn, two drinks, and two tickets to any of the Megaplex movies.
I recommend Dune Part 2 in IMAX.
I recommend Yo Capitano.
Oh, Yo Capitano is also really good. But Dune Part 2 in IMAX.
Sounds awesome.
All right, congratulations, and thanks to our friends at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters for sponsoring Telephone Torture.
The Movie Show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true, but you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
Final segment of the Movie Show, and Steve, we've had such a jam-packed show today, especially since we wanted to make sure we talked about who we liked for the Oscars, and it's Sunday night, and remember, it's an early start time, and it's daylight savings this weekend. I almost hate to remind people of that.
Yeah, it starts at 5, so
make sure you spring your clock forward and then look for the 5 o'clock start time if you want to watch the Oscars. I know everyone's been asking me, do you have a big, old, huge party? I'm like, I remembered to set my DVR.
We used to have the big party with the movie show, but we haven't done that for a while. Yeah. Maybe we should get back to it.
Maybe if they move Oscars to Monday, we could make
Monday.
All right. So, Steve, let's do we do have a few streaming items we haven't had a chance to get to yet, so we'll get through those pretty quick, and then we'll get to Rapid Fire where we talk about we give our quick recap of the films we did. So let's talk about on Netflix we have a new series called The Gentlemen, and
this is Guy Ritchie, who gave us the movie The Gentleman, if you remember, with Colin Farrell just about 4 or 5 years ago. This is a spinoff.
Matthew McConaughey was in that too, wasn't he? I swear he was, but maybe not.
It's all British.
A lot of British dudes. Guys, yeah.
And so they've done a spinoff now, and it's the same farm where they were growing pot, but now there's a new duke and a whole bunch of other stuff going on that's kind of fun.
Yeah, so basically one brother, the younger brother, gets given the title of duke when the dad dies.
Oh, that's right.
And the older brother's into the drug mob, like $8 million.
Yeah, he's a mess.
Yeah, and so for me, I thought I actually got drawn into it really quick. It is crime thriller kind of stuff, and it's pretty violent at times. But if you like that kind of thing, this is actually really solid.
Plus, the older brother is such an idiot.
Oh my gosh!
You just want to slap.
He's everything that's wrong with rich people.
And the younger brother's trying to like get him on the right track. It's actually
and the younger
good.
Brother's Theo James from Divergent, who played four for all the
who
people
that
who
was.
Yeah, he was Triss's love interest.
That dude
in
could
Divergent.
Play Bond.
He'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, and then we also had on Apple TV Plus The Reluctant Traveler.
Okay, so I watched the first season, and it was all over the world, including Portugal and Utah, which is weird.
Now Eugene Levy goes around the world. He doesn't like to travel. That's why it's called The Reluctant Traveler.
Right, and now he's gone into Europe, starting in Sweden, and he works his way down all the way to the Straits of Gibraltar in Spain. So it's actually kind of similar, as you saw. The thing is, this is everywhere he stays. There's one castle, he stays at $12,000 a night. So this is more like...
Oh, my gosh.
You know, the
lifestyles
rich,
of the rich,
rich
and famous.
Famous.
Travelers
yeah.
of the rich and famous.
Except reluctantly, which is weird because he's at these exotic places.
Yeah, it's not like he's having to sleep out under an overpass or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but it's really good. I mean, he kind of gets into not only the really fancy places, but he'll go out and meet with the people. And I've enjoyed it.
Did they
it.
Drop all the episodes at once, or are they weekly releases?
No, well, shoot. I saw them all at once, but I'm not sure.
They might be weekly.
I think they are.
But they don't have anybody from Utah this time, right?
Nobody,
they don't
have any places. It's all Europe this time.
Oh, all Europe this time. Okay, yeah. So see Eugene Levy travel Europe
yeah.
on The Reluctant Traveler. Okay, and then I wanted to mention I watched the program Cons, Cults, and Kidnapping on Netflix. It's a three-part documentary series about, you know, those teen reform survival type.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The
this
tough
was
love.
Tough but... love. That's exactly the word. That was such a big deal. Started in the 80s. And it kind of crested at the end of the 2000s.
If you're a bad kid, they sent you there to straighten up.
Yes. Parents paid a premium. And this is some of the kids who were in that, and it's been 15 years later now. And they're trying to show you what really went on in them so that people won't be duped by these kinds of things. What's fascinating about it and what actually makes it slightly interesting to our audience is that a lot of it has ties to Utah. Some of the stuff in southern Utah. So,
well, they do go down to those wilderness programs.
Yeah. And those are part of the thing. So anyway, I found it very interesting. It's kind of a tough watch, but it is a documentary called The Program, Cons, Cults, and Kidnapping on Netflix. All right, Steve, let's rapid fire through what we did talk about. Our big movie of the week, Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not as good. I didn't think it was as good as the first three, but it's not bad.
Right.
We also have Imaginary, which I saw. You didn't get to see. It's PG-13 horror. It wasn't terrible. Okay. And I'm not a horror fan, but my 17-year-old talked to herself through the whole movie to self-soothe. All right, and then we have Cabrini.
Well, this is a good film. Angel Studios picked up a great little production here, and it's about a nun who comes to America and tries to set up orphanages and a hospital, and everybody in the world is fighting her against her, and it's just such a sweet movie.
Yes, it shows the good in human nature once again, yeah. And I recommend it, Cabrini. We've got Yo Capitano, which is a nominee for the Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars.
I hadn't seen it, but it was the last one that I hadn't seen, and I kind of reluctantly, like, I don't know what this is, Yo Capitano? You know, it just seemed weird, but it's about two boys from Senegal, Dakar, and they want to go to Europe and make something of themselves. Getting from Dakar even to Libya was a nightmare. And they weren't done. And it really is well done.
Yes, Yo Capitano for me was an A, and it's worth your time. It is foreign language, though, just a heads up. Then we have on Netflix Damsel with Millie Bobby Brown fighting a dragon.
I love her. It's kind of formulaic, but I love her.
And you get to see evil Robin Wright.
Oh, yeah, she's good at that.
And then we have Ricky Stanicky. Ricky Stanicky.
Pretty dirty, but has some good heart. The combination of the two, though, is a little off.
John Cena makes the show, but I warn you, content sensitive. Stay away from Ricky Stanicky. But if it doesn't bother you, you'll probably get a good laugh. Stone will probably get a good laugh from Ricky Stanicky. I think it's easy to say. Steve, good luck with your Oscar pool this Sunday.